Me.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this,
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Well, hello, everybody. You have found us. It is me, Rosie O'Donnell, star of the Flintstones. How are you? Are you doing well? It's Christmas time in the city. Very excited. Lots of things going on. I spend a lot of time online buying gifts to be sent to New York because that's where I'm doing Christmas with all my children and family and Jackie and her kids. And I can't wait. I absolutely love Christmas time. I don't like all the stress of gifts specific for people, you know. My son Parker has a new partner and I've yet to meet her. And so I'm purchasing gifts for her because she's coming for Christmas and I've never met her. So I'm hoping that I'm just randomly guessing. Parker told me she liked the color purple. So trust me, it's purple everything. And I can't wait, you know. What can I say? What's happening in the news? Norman Lear. Oh, what can we say about Norman Lear? Only he was just the greatest humanitarian, the greatest television producer, writer. He died at 101, and I was lucky enough to know him and to have had dinner with him and spent some time with him, and he was lovely. He was so lovely. And his wife, lovely. And you know, what can you say about somebody who sort of changed everything for the world? I mean, he reframed what you could or couldn't do on TV while entertaining by introducing political and social themes to sitcoms, right? Before All in the Family, television basically portrayed white family life as happy and content. Remember, Leave It to Beaver, Hazel. TV avoided raising issues about discrimination, misogyny, homophobia, you know, reality, basically. And in 1971, when I was 9 years old, he changed everything. He found a way to hold up a mirror to society, to make us all laugh and to see ourselves and our own bigotry and ignorance. I mean, Archie Bunker. Hey there, eat it, 'tis the land of fruit and nuts out there. But I just loved him. I really did. What can I say? He did All in the Family, Sanford and Sons, Maude, which was, in my opinion, one of the greatest sitcoms ever on, next to All in the Family. Good Times, The Jeffersons, One Day at a Time, Mary Hartman. Different strokes. You could keep going. So many. And what an amazing life he lived. And People for the American Way is his organization and trying to bring attention to civics and to civil society and inspire people to be humanitarians and political activists. And I am forever in his debt, I think, as we all are. So Godspeed to you there, Norman Lear. Good old Norman Lear. I wanted to tell you that I am on Family Feud on December 13th, and I thought that it was last night. So my brother, Eddie, who is the oldest and the bossiest, he called and said, you know, we're on Family Feud. And I was like, when? He's like, tonight. I'm like, are you kidding? He said, no. So I do this whole post about tonight we're on Family Feud, complete with photos of Vivi and Jackie and my godchild, Katie, and my niece, Allie. You know, and it's wrong. It wasn't on last night. And Eddie, like, called me specifically to tell me. So, of course, I made this post. And about 4 hours later, I get a call from Vivi, who is somewhere with her friends in college, laughing hysterically, going, Mom, you are not on tonight. Neither am I. We're not on until December 13th. Why don't you fix it? You know, I just felt like somebody who had no cognitive ability left. I really did. But we got it. We got it done. And, you know, it's on tomorrow. So that's the 13th, Wednesday, the 13th, which is tomorrow. You can watch me on Family Feud. I believe it's on ABC. I'm pretty sure, but I'm not positive. But I'm not going to post about it because, frankly, I've done enough damage. Also, Clay's school picture came in. And they are very adorable and actually looked at the camera, which is a huge plus. Eye contact not being the favorite thing of theirs. Well, we have a great show for you today. We really do. My conversation is with Annoyed Lemon. Now, you're going to say, who's Annoyed Lemon? Well, TikTok. About a year ago, I stumbled upon Annoyed Lemon, literally a lemon floating in space with big eyes, big lips, and I was immediately hooked. She's opinionated. She's funny. She's a great reviewer of books and biographies and especially memoirs. Lemon, as she said I could call her, has 140,000 followers and talks about everything from everything, her antics in the world, her being, you know, a mom and having her own quirky Italian mother, Mama Lemon, as she calls her. She makes me laugh out loud. Plus, you know, she's a really good person. She really is. And I had a fun chat with her, and I hope you enjoy it. Here we go. It's me and from TikTok, my buddy, Annoyed Lemon. Hello, Annoyed Lemon.
Hello. Oh my God.
How are you?
I am so good. Thank you so much for having me on.
First of all, I love your TikTok page. I don't know, what do you call it? Your account?
I don't know what people are calling it now. I don't know what I'm doing
What everyone should know is all you get on the visual is a lemon with eyes and a mouth.
Yes.
Now, explain to me how and why you came up with this idea.
So I only started it in January of this year, so it hasn't been long. And it was really because I wanted to talk about stuff and not have my family see.
Interesting.
Because I used to have a Facebook and an Instagram personal, right, forever. Who doesn't? And I would talk about stuff and like I would go to a family function and they'd be like, oh, I saw you on Facebook talking about this. And I'm like, they're like, what do you think you're special talking about? And I was like, you know what? I hate all of you. I don't really, but you know. And
yeah, sure.
I said, I'm going to make a TikTok. Well, what really sparked it was Prince Harry's memoir came out.
Yes,
and I loved it so much. And there was—
And you know what? So did I.
And so much controversy around it.
Yes.
And so much on TikTok, people weren't getting, they didn't have all the context. And so my first TikTok was like stitching someone saying, it's a celebrity. I don't know if I stitched somebody who wasn't getting it right. And I let him know.
Tell me, who was it?
It was Miss Bethany Frankel.
Oh, yeah.
And she
People
was
have
making,
lots of bad things to say about
well,
her.
She was just making fun of the title. And she's like, oh, what a stupid title. And I stitched and said, actually, he's been called that since birth. By his father, by his grandmother, the queen, by even his mother.
Right.
And, you know, and then my first TikTok ever, and it got all these views. And so I just continued answering the questions for people that's in it. And then that's really what it was.
And so is it because you happen to be listening to the Spare book? Because I know you like all your books on audio.
Yes.
And I actually read or listened to the spare book because of what you had been saying about it. Yes. So then I'm like, I'm going to listen to this. Now, I have to tell you the truth, Lemon. And can I just call you Lemon?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Okay. So, Lemon, I put on the audiobooks and I fall asleep. I can't help myself. Like, I'm the kind of person, if I'm reading the book, I will stay up
really
until 3 or 4 in the morning because I can't stop, right?
Yeah.
But when, like, Harry with that accent, with his,
I loved it.
You know, and he was talking to me,
I was
like, good night, you know? So I had to only listen to it in the day or in the car.
See, everyone's different, right? I can't do the book. I fall asleep from the book.
No kidding. Yeah.
So I loved hearing his voice. I was like, oh, keep talking.
No, I thought his voice was so beautiful. I
yes.
thought, you know, and I know that when people write big, fat, thick books like that, mm-hmm. that are exceptionally and beautifully written, they normally have someone help. But I don't care because everyone does it.
Yeah, he had a very good ghostwriter. I actually read an article in the New York Times, his ghostwriter, and I forget about him right now, his name, talking about his experience being Harry's ghostwriter. And it was a beautiful article about what it means to be a ghostwriter. And I appreciated that too, because you never really hear from the ghostwriters, you know? So yeah.
No, ever.
Yeah, it was nice. And that's what really made me make a TikTok. And I didn't expect it to really, I started TikTok with the lemon filter because I didn't want my family just being jerks to me, because that's, you know, they bust my chops all the time.
I thought it had to do with work, honestly.
Oh, I don't work. I work
I
now.
Thought that you were at some job and you thought you were going to get in trouble.
Well,
and so you came up with this lemon
it's
idea.
It's more about, I did have a part-time job. I was working with a liquor rep at the time when I started. It was a friend. So that's part of it too. And I curse a lot and stuff like that. And then my husband's the real professional one. Actually, my husband knows you.
How?
But I'm going to try to talk about this in a way that doesn't expose me.
Okay.
you have a foundation for
yes.
kids on Broadway, right?
Yes. For kids in New York City.
Yes.
And one of the things we do is we teach life lessons through learning musical theater
right.
knowledge.
Right. Many, many years, you have a big gala. I won't say
right.
where in the city. You did for
in
years.
In New York, yes.
And he cooked for it every year.
Oh.
So I don't think he really met you, but when I told...
Well, I always go in the kitchen and thank everybody. I always,
yeah,
you know,
said,
walk through
yeah.
when I
so,
do that event.
Yeah, so
and
you didn't meet
been,
him one-on-one, but he said, when I told him what I was doing, he's like, oh, yeah, I cook for Rosie Bennett.
I hang with her. I hang with her once a year. I made her a filet.
Yeah. So
excellent.
Small world.
Now, how long have you been married, if you don't mind me asking?
How
are
long?
These lemon secrets,
no.
or can I? Okay.
9 years. My daughter's 9. So we got married
9.
When she was 3 months old.
Excellent. And other children or just one?
Just one.
That's great.
Yeah.
And what grade is that now?
She's in 4th.
4th, because my little one is in 5th.
Okay.
And, next year starts the middle school out here, 6, 7, 8.
Terrifying.
You know?
Yeah, same year,
yeah,
6,
right?
7. Yeah, already I'm scared about it.
Hard to believe.
Yeah, it's a different
they
world.
They start looking like teenagers right in front of you and
yeah.
you don't know what to do and all of a sudden they isolate in their room.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back with more Lemon after this.
Presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this,
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it.
your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You know, so you are the first person I've ever interviewed that I have no idea what their name is.
I know. Isn't it so weird? It's kind of fun.
It's kind of fun in a way.
And then now it's like a thing. You know, at first people wanted to know, why do you hide your face? You're Rachel McAdams. I get that a lot. I'm like, okay, sure I am. You can confirm I'm nobody. And
you're a beautiful young woman very smart and very funny and loves to listen to memoirs.
I really do.
And we're going to talk about some memoirs in a minute.
Yes.
But so I just think that you're very compelling, and I have to say, it's not easy to be compelling when you're a lemon with just eyes and a mouth.
I know. And you know what?
But
it
works.
I talk to people like I talk to my family or my friends. And I love that I'm talking to people that I don't know. I'm so much more comfortable talking to people that I don't know. I couldn't do this on my, I don't even have personal Facebook anymore because I'm on Facebook, but I couldn't do what I do on TikTok on my personal Facebook page to my friends and family. I would be embarrassed. Isn't that weird?
That's so funny.
Yeah, it would be too embarrassed.
Although I will say, do you ever see the little character I do on my thing, Myrtle?
Yes.
Where I, you know, put on the face thing.
Yes.
You know, I feel when I'm doing Myrtle that it's not me and I can say anything.
Well, when I do Annoyed Lemon, I feel the same way because I can get sassier if I get pissed off or something is silly or whatever. I might not normally, I still curse a lot in person too, but it's more.
It's all right with me, honey.
Okay.
I do the same thing.
But I am the best at it. My husband is the next, but my mother is the worst.
Really?
My mother's mouth. There's one TikTok I made where I recorded her. My followers, if they hear this, they'll know which one. And it's hysterical because she is 100% Italian from Hoboken, New Jersey.
Right.
And I grew up with that. And so when we go there and visit with her, it's just, I have to be like, Ma, tone it down.
Tone it down a little bit. Shut the fuck up with the cursing all the fucking time.
Like, not just the fuck, but it's like, look at this twat over here. I'm like, Ma. And I know my daughter doesn't even know what that is, but it's like, oh, I can't. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's where I get it from. Jeez, but I'm not that bad.
It's funny when my daughter once, it was very hard in New York City to do the drop off. Now I had this driver for a while and he was late a lot and so I go to get her in the car and they shush him away and he has to go all the way around the block in New York City and we're standing and it's so late that the teacher is there. When the car pulled away, apparently I said, God damn it, Jimmy.
Yeah.
And so then we're waiting. She's 3 or 4 years old, a pre-K or whatever. And the teacher says, who are you waiting for? And she says, God damn it, I'm waiting for Jimmy. And I was so horrified.
Oh,
you know, one of those parent moments when you just, whoo.
I know. Yeah.
Can I ask you, did you always have a love of reading or listening to books? When did you first get into the audiobook memoir scene?
So
were you always interested?
Yeah, I've always loved podcasts and audiobooks. Really, when I became a mom, doing everything I got to do while listening to something, I have to always have the TV on. Something has to be on. I can't have silence. It's very unnerving for me. So that's how it started. And then over COVID was when I just was like every day, listening to a book, finishing a book, listening to a podcast. And that's where it really started. Yeah.
And were your choice always were memoirs? And was it always celebrity memoirs or any memoir?
I first was never a memoir. And then, this is going to sound crazy even for me to say it, I listened to Jessica Simpson's memoir, which came out right as COVID was happening, I think, or right before February 2020, something like that. And it was so good. And I was shocked.
Wow. Wow.
And I went, that's when I went on my personal Facebook page to tell my friends and family, like, oh, you got to watch Jessica Simpson's. And they're like, get lost, cool, you know, whatever. And then I started, and I do Jessica's on my page because it really is great. And then when I talk about it on my TikTok account and other people are like, oh, you know, Jessica's memoir's fire, or that memoir's great too. And there's all these other people that also are into memoirs like me. So
right.
It's a thing, I guess.
And did you read like The Glass Castle?
No.
Remember that about the mom? It's about a newswoman who was driving to a black tie event, and in her limo, she looks out and sees her mother in the trash bin, homeless, going through as she's on to the Emmys.
Oh my goodness.
It was a beautiful book.
Wow.
And I remember, like, sometimes I read a memoir and
I'm so
unbelievably connected to the person that I try to make contact with them through, you know, TikTok now you can.
Yes.
Through, it's easier.
Right.
I mean,
well,
if I was a child, you know, and there was TikTok access, I never would have went to school.
Oh, I know, it's bad. But I read on my page, and we talked about it. I hope I pronounce his name right. Michael Checky Azzalina, his memoir is called Your Table's Ready. And it's all about being a maitre d' and coming up in the food and beverage industry in New York City, in like the biggest and best places where all the celebrities go or went in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s. It is one of the best memoirs ever. And I talked about it, and my followers to this day will say, that's the best memoir you've gone over. And then he reached out to me, thanking me.
Nice.
I don't even know how he, you know, and it really meant a lot to him because he was getting older in years and he couldn't continue. Food and beverage is tough. You know,
sure. Yes.
Tough on
physical
your body.
Work.
And he got to an age where he's like, I can't do it anymore. And his kids were like, why don't you write a book, Dad? And so he did. And it's fantastic. So.
Well, you'll have to tell me the name of this. Send that to me.
Yeah. Your Table's Ready. It's called.
Your Table is Ready.
Yeah,
okay.
Great.
Lori, write that down. Mm-hmm. I'd love to read that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get enough of memoirs. Now, I know you did. You went through the Jada Pinkett book. What'd you think?
Well, no, I didn't finish it yet.
Oh, you didn't finish it?
No. Did you?
I started it and
I didn't finish.
You know, it was weird. Mm-hmm. I felt like we wouldn't be friends.
Oh, well.
So it was hard for me to kind of, I don't know. I couldn't get my way to seeing it without the frame that I have already around.
That's really hard. Sometimes there are some that I read and I'm like, I don't like this person too much. And I try to keep an unbiased opinion. And when I go over it on my page, I'm always respectful. I'm never I don't allow my followers to do that if they don't like something. But yeah, I know what you mean. I'm not saying.
Yeah. And it's not like she would want to be it's not like an insult necessarily.
Yeah.
It's just, I felt like I couldn't kind of get in there.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah. That happens sometimes too. And then there's times when you read one and you're like blown away by it. Like for me, Paris Hilton's memoirs, it came out not that long ago. I will forever have a respect for her.
For her. I agree.
I
just hung out with her. And, you know, I just told her how much respect I have for her and how honest and intelligent and gut-wrenchingly personal the book was and what it has done to help people.
Yes.
Who have been through that horrific? Let's kidnap your kids at night,
throw
them in a wilderness program for 2 years.
And
they
don't get to come home for Christmas or summer break. That whole scene that she describes when she was pulled out of the bed, she thought she was being kidnapped in the middle of the night, dragged by her feet, men by grown men. She's screaming. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
I felt the same way.
Yeah.
I thought that was really, Now, I saw your annoyed lemon TikTok yesterday about the Barbara Streisand book being 48 hours.
Listen.
Now, is that the longest book you were ever trying to listen to?
Ever.
Yes. And are you going to do it?
I have.
Are you
I'm 3 hours in.
Okay.
Look at this. I'm going to show you.
What do you think? Tell me so far.
Notes.
Those are your notes? You got some Streisand comments.
Oh, my goodness. Right. It's great. The 3 hours I've listened to are great, but I'm nervous because it's a lot. And I don't know how to break it down for people. I don't, you know, but I will. It's really, really good.
Yeah.
She does great job at just describing her childhood in Brooklyn when she was young and the, you know, her mother and her stepfather and the restaurants and the bakeries and, you know, hanging out on the stoop. And just, it's really great. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
But it's 48 hours.
Well, yes, I'm taking it over Christmas. That's going to be my thing over Christmas to read.
Did you get the actual physical book? They say it's
huge. Of course I did.
Yeah,
yes, it's like two Gideon Bibles, you know, and one. And but I, you know, I have adored her since I was born, really.
Yes.
And I will consume anything that she puts her name to.
Yeah.
So
I grew up with her music. My mother every Saturday would clean to her music. My mother would dress like her.
Mm.
I have, you know, I'm half Italian, half Jewish, like most people in the Northeast. And so I have my whole father's side of the family loves her. I mean, come on, you know, so I'm excited to finish.
And I don't think there'll ever be another one like that. You know, I think that it's so shocking to me when you realize the younger generation isn't really familiar with some of the defining performances of her life and career.
I know.
To have been alive while she was in her prime.
Yeah, and they don't know.
Like, it has been such a gift to me as an entertainer, as, you know, for somebody that you can go, well, there is excellence
right
there.
Yeah.
And if you're going to strive to do this at all, that's the level of excellence.
Absolutely.
You know?
So I don't mind. Yeah. I'll sit through the 48 hours, girl. I don't mind.
All right. Well, I as I said, she would put me to sleep because I can't listen to a book.
I do
but
have to
I will
speed
read
it up. I had to put it on. No offense, Barbara. I speed them up too because I'm like,
oh, you do. You do the double speed.
Sometimes I do 2.0, which is the fastest you could go.
Really?
Well, because, you know, I just did Matthew Perry's.
Oh
my God.
We were friends, me and Matthew.
That was
you
just
know,
the
what a
most
beautiful
heartbreaking
man.
Memoir I've ever read.
Oh, and how brave of him and how important and how with the reality of his passing, how wonderful that he got to do it and define himself.
It was
in his own terms, you know.
At the day of his funeral, it was a year ago, almost to that day, I think maybe by that he released the memoir.
Mm.
And I was like, ugh. Jeez, you know, but it's fantastic. And he did not use a ghostwriter.
Right. He's a very smart guy too, you know.
Most of them do, and there's nothing wrong with that, to use one. But he was so talented that he didn't need one. And it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really great.
I've read it as well.
Yeah.
I read it. Mm-hmm. We started to get to know each other during COVID because we were in a group chat together.
Mm-hmm.
And it lasted all 3 years. And
wow.
Up until, you know, the morning that he died, he posted in our group.
Oh, Jesus.
It's about 10 of us, 12 of us, you know.
Yeah.
And I just was so sad, you know, 54. And when I sit here at 61 and I think, you know, where was I at 54? Did I have Dakota yet? Did I, like, I was trying to imagine, you know.
Yeah.
How long we get is like, it's anyone's guess.
Yeah.
And life can change with a phone call, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But I felt guilty because when his passing was announced, I said, you know, okay, because people tag me, people call, you know, on TikTok, like with something that's relevant to you comes up. And they were like, oh, can you do his memoir? Can you do his memoir? And people had been asking me to do it. I have a list and I try to keep to it, but sometimes I can't. And so I said, I came on and said I would do it, but I did feel really guilty that I didn't get to do it while he was here. But I'm glad that I did it at all because it's fantastic. So
I do think that he felt loved.
Yeah. Yeah. And his parents really
came
out with a beautiful foundation for him.
Yes.
Yeah, it's great.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, every family is complicated. I you know, assume it's a given, mm-hmm. right? Nobody gets out unscathed. Mm-mm. But, you know, he had this group of friends, and his best friend is like my sister out here, Robin Roseanne. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she and he were like besties. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's been hard for her.
Yeah.
And,
but
I just, you know, it's sad. It's just sad.
I think that's the best thing. When people ask me, sometimes on my page, they'll comment and be like, why do you care about these celebrities? You know, on TikTok, celebrities, you're probably one of the very few that
suck.
Yeah, you're one of the very few that they love. So sometimes I get that comment, like, why do you care? Why do you worship these people? And girl, I don't worship them at all. I love learning about people and a good story. I love it. When I was a kid, I was going to, when they used to call me Yenta, because I love just knowing everything.
Gossip and knowing.
And I just love it, you know? And so if somebody has a life well lived and experience, like, please tell me. I want to hear about it. So.
Yeah, well, you will love The Glass Castle.
Okay, good. I wrote it down. So.
You won't be able to put it down.
Good.
It's one of those kind of books, you know?
Good.
Yeah. So on the whole, what do you think of your TikTok experience? Do you think it's a thing that's added tremendously to your life? Do you consider it a job? Do you think of doing content? Are you in one of those ways you can get paid? I've never figured out how to do that. But
they have. Okay, so I have days where I'm enthralled in it because something happens.
Right.
Like, unfortunately, what happened with Matthew Perry. And then I'm like, I'm reading his memoir. And then I read it or listen to it. And then I can't stop talking about it. And I talk about it.
Right.
So I have days when that happens. And then I have days where I'm like, I gotta push myself because obviously I don't love social media because I don't even show my face. So I'm not interested in this is, look at me, you know?
Right. But you're not interested in being famous for you.
No, which is probably stupid. Like some people, my husband's you know, he wants me to be more business minded about it. And it's hard for me because I'm not motivated by that, by money, which sounds like a cop out, but it's so true. I just want to talk to people about, you know, whatever. And so there's days where it seems like a job and I have to push through. And then in between doing memoirs, I just comment on silly stuff on TikTok or whatever. And those are the moments that I feel like I get to know people that follow me because I try my best to comment as much as I can, you know, reply to the comments because I do have a following of people. It just seems so silly to me at times too. I'm almost like, in my real life, nobody really knows what I do. My husband knows. My mother kind of knows, though she doesn't understand TikTok. I've told my brother.
Lucky for you.
Because she'd be commenting. Oh, God. I told my brother and he's like, yeah, okay. He doesn't really, so I feel silly about it sometimes because I am a lemon on there. So it's what the hell am I doing with this account? I am part of the creativity beta program. I don't fully understand how it works.
Nor do I. I don't know. People keep saying, are you monetizing your TikTok? I'm like,
I
just learned how to do a stitch. So I'm not going to be monetizing anytime soon. I don't understand. You have to do something and it has to be over this amount of minutes.
It has to be over 1 minute.
People have to stay for 60 seconds or something.
Yes. And
I don't know.
You can't do a stitch and you can't do a duet, which I do them. So those videos you don't make money on, then you can't do with it. It's a lot of rules. I don't know. I haven't gotten rich. So if anybody has any tips.
Call us.
But also, I work part-time Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I have a daughter. I have a big, fat Labrador. So it's I can't get enthralled in it too much.
Right. You have real life waiting for you.
Well, and then also, when I make content, I make 10-minute long videos, multiple parts. And so all I do is make content on TikTok. I don't do a ton of scrolling. So that keeps me from getting too wrapped up in it. And also, I see a lot of other creators get a ton of hate.
Yeah.
I don't get a ton of hate, and I think it's because I don't show myself.
I don't think it's about that.
No.
I think it's because you don't, you know, you're not mean-spirited. You're fair in your assessments.
Well, sometimes can get mean if it's nothing about a memoir. But other stuff, I've had a little couple times. If someone's mean to me, I'll clap back at them.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can't really do that anymore too many times, Rosie, because I get a lot of violations.
Oh, yeah. I've gotten some violations
myself.
And I've been
told that, you know, if I get another one, that's it. You know, my first ever TikTok I made, I got a violation on it.
Wow. Because? Sometimes it's hard to tell.
Because I told Miss Bethany Frankel that she was wrong on her assessment of Spare, and I got a violation and a block.
Wow. Now, I know zero.
And I only had 80 followers.
To negative zero about Bethany Frankel. I never watched the show when she was on it. The only ones I saw were the Caroline Manzino in New Jersey.
Oh, yes.
I could relate to that family.
Yes.
But I don't know really anything about Bethany Frankel.
See,
And everyone I've met on here has a horrible Bethany Frankel story.
Because
tell me yours.
So mine was, I think, like I said, it was my first ever TikTok. I think I even used a voiceover. I didn't even have my normal voices. I didn't know what I was doing. And I just said, you know, you're wrong in his making fun of the title of the book because he was actually called this, right?
Yeah, right.
I might have said, like, you know, you don't have
you bitch from hell.
You don't
or
have
something?
To be an asshole about it. The man's pouring his heart out. Something to that effect. Community guideline violation. Well, first the video took off. My first video got like 30,000 views. And I'm like, what in the hell is this? Because I'm used to Instagram where nobody sees anything you do. And then I'm like, well, I don't know if I like this because this is a lot. It's a lot of engagement. And I was never, you know, used to that on social media. And then boom, I get the notice. Violation, harassing and bullying a celebrity. And I was like, oh my God, what did I do?
Harassing and bullying a celebrity is a special
category. Yes. And I thought,
well, you know, it's funny when I report somebody like who's maybe pretending to be me and getting people to give them money, it's so sad, you know? Mm-hmm. And I write, you know, this is crazy. Why are you doing this? And people kind of go after them.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
Which is kind of good,
I mean,
in a way.
Maybe that is what happens. But all I know is I got the violation and then I got a block. So I don't know if it's from the team that does her stuff or her personally.
Can I tell you something? Any celebrity who tells you that their team does their TikTok or their Instagram, they're lying.
Well, okay. Thank you.
I know the biggest celebrities in the world, just like you and me, are sitting home doing
that. That's what everybody thought.
But it's the truth.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know one person. I think Mark Ruffalo has, because he does so many wonderful causes, that he has someone kind of orchestrate his postings and whatnot, always because of a cause that he's supporting.
Right,
you know? I admire him so much, not just as an actor, but as a man.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful, wonderful man.
Well, that was, you know, and
that was your Bethany. It didn't go any further than that. She didn't try to get a cease and desist anything.
People ask me that all the time now, because I wasn't going for anything personal. I was just like, what are you talking about? But
what do you do with like big things like the war in Israel and Gaza?
So,
and what do you do? Do you just ignore
or kind of at first?
Okay.
And I tried to come from and whenever I speak about something on my TikTok, and my followers know this, it's coming from a personal experience place. I'm not just going to talk out my ass like I know what I'm talking about, like so many people on TikTok do, and they don't know what they're talking about half the time. So I'm half Jewish, half Italian. I wasn't raised Jewish religiously. My father's on the Jewish side. So I was raised Catholic by my mother. But I went to all the things. All my cousins' bat mitzvahs, bar mitzvahs, Hanukkahs, Passover, Seders, whatever. So I have more of an understanding than the average person, right? So I took it from a place of, this is what I know from what my personal experience. But also, that doesn't mean I support something wholeheartedly 100%. And so I try to do both sides. Not both sides, but like, just what I personally feel. It's a mess of turmoil I go through every day. I talk about it a little bit, and then I thought, I can't do this anymore, because then you get crazy, wacky comments.
Yeah.
And I just said, that's it. You know what? I'm not an expert in this field. All I know is what I personally, and I watch the ones that are the experts or that know more than me. I'm not on here for people to hear my, you know, people know, but that's it. Let's move it. Let me do, you know, that's when I was supposed to do Jada's book. And that's why I completely stopped.
That's what happened. Yeah.
Because it just got, I couldn't focus.
Yes, it was. Yes, I can imagine. So, well, listen, Annoyed Lemon, I find you delightful.
Thank you. I really
enjoy your TikTok, and I want everybody to go on Annoyed Lemon, follow her.
Thank you, Rosie.
And just enjoy all of her memoir reviews, which are fantastic, and all of her little life lessons along the way.
Thank you so much.
Including Bethany Frankel. You gave her one or two.
Bethany, I really don't hate you, Bethany. It's just, you know.
No, and I don't even really know you.
Write a memoir, Bethany, and I'll read it.
Write a new one. Write a new one,
Oh, that's
Bethany.
Right. She has a bunch. Okay.
I think she has seven. I'm not sure. Well, you've been great, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Rosie. I appreciate it.
You did a great job. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Stick around. We'll be back with questions from you, our wonderful listeners.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
How fabulous is that Annoyed Lemon? Smart and funny, and I want to thank her for doing my podcast. Okay, we've got two questions, and the first one is from someone named Nate. Hit it, Nate.
Hi, Rosie. This is Nate. First, I just want to say, like everyone, you have had such an incredible impact on my life. I want to thank you so, so, so much. I grew up watching your show after school. I've always, always been drawn to you and all of the projects that you have been a part of. And, you know, I think it's so amazing that so many little gay kids like me were able to see you, even when you weren't out, to be able to have you on our screens. There was something that was clearly a kindred spirit, you know, and so even before I knew I was gay, I knew you were safe.
Mm.
So thank you for that. I also had the privilege of meeting you outside the Kennedy Center after your performance in The Music Man, which was amazing, and was able to talk to you at the stage door, which is so, so cool. And you were just lovely and took time to talk to all of us, which was so amazing. My question is about estranged relationships. I've been estranged from my parents for, you know, over a decade, almost 11 or 12 years. I'm 37, so that's a big chunk of my adult life. And of course, that's been hard on everyone and sad for a lot of reasons and at different times, really, really hard. But on the whole, I think it's actually been good for me. I think the distance was necessary, and I think it helped create healthier, safer boundaries for me. However, my parents are getting older now and having health issues, and I'm starting to reevaluate that. But it's scary. It's scary to think about reopening doors that were so hard to close and that were closed for important, necessary reasons. I have one sister who is older, and she has remained in touch with our parents, and she's taking care of them in some ways now. And so I've been contributing by giving her money, and I feel like that's a way that I can help and also help my sister, but still have that boundary for my relationship with my parents and not wanting to cross that line yet. But I wonder what advice you might have. I know, you know, you're a parent, but also as a kid, you've experienced, you know, some things that I have too. And so I just wonder how you would recommend going about this kind of reevaluating of that estrangement. I know it's a very common thing for people who maybe don't understand to say, listen, you only get one mom, you only get one dad, or when they're gone, you'll feel guilty or you'll wish that you would have fixed things. And, you know, that is a kind of guilt that, you know, isn't always true and isn't always helpful to someone who's gone through a really, you know, unhealthy relationship. And so part of me really does not want to reopen doors. And in the time we've been apart, my dad has actually really become a strong Trump supporter, and is very against, you know, my queer identity, but also just all the values I have, basically. And so it's also hard to like reopen something who, you know, this man is someone that I would not want in my life otherwise, would not be friends with. We don't have the same values. And yet I do feel this kind of guilt, and I feel pressure from, you know, everywhere that I should be making amends with him. It might be easier with my mom. They're divorced, and so they live separately, but they're both aging and both having health issues. And so I feel like it's time to reconsider this relationship, but it's scary. And so I would love to hear your thoughts. Thank you for always being a part of my life and for all you do. Thank you.
You're the sweetest. That's such a beautiful, beautiful message. And thank you for all the thought and details that you put in there. You know, I can only talk about my own experience. And, you know, I was estranged from my dad for, boy, I would guess over 20 years. And when he was sick and dying, you know, my two older brothers, there are five children. My two older brothers went to see him, and, you know, then it went to the funeral. But myself, my sister, and my younger brother did not. And, you know, I will say that a lot of people told me that I would regret it, that I would regret it once he passed. And, you know, I didn't regret it. I felt the same feelings that you're feeling. First of all, when you said safe, where you needed to get someplace safe, you know, if you have found a way to safety after a childhood like ours, you've done an incredible thing for yourself and for those who you love. You know, I don't regret it, although I sometimes think of my father now that I'm 61. I saw him one time since my children were born, which was 28 years ago. But he never met my children. He never saw my children. I kept them separate, and I don't regret that at all. You know, if your mom and dad are separate, if you can find any way in your heart to reach out to your mom, maybe through a letter, you know, maybe just, you know, I'm thinking of you, and I know it's been a long time, and I know my sister is there helping, and I've tried to help in the ways I can, and I just wanted to touch base, and then leave it in her corner, you know. But you don't have to have any relationship that doesn't serve you now, because you're a 37-year-old adult man, and you sound very loving and very kind, and you know, you're allowed to take care of yourself, Nate. thank you for saying that I was there for you, even when I was not out. You had a sense. And I love that when people your age come over to me and say, you know, I didn't even know I was gay, but I knew there was something about you that I connected to. And, you know, it just makes me so happy. It really does. And it makes me feel like there was a bigger purpose to that show and to that job. And you are the result of that. And I thank you, Nate, for writing me, for coming to see me, and for being kind afterwards and still now. So happy holidays, my friend. Do your best and don't beat yourself up, because keep your life safe and grounded in the reality you've created for the last decade. And, you know, some doors are meant to stay shut. All right, that was heavy, but that was good. And we got one more coming in. Who we got this one? I think it's Mary. Hit it, Mary.
Hello, Rosie. Mary from Ottawa here. I'm also a 62 baby, fourth of five kids, same cultural references, but without the family drama. Anyway, I used to listen to your show all the time and called in many times on the phone line because I too was adopting a bunch of kids while you were, and you were my lifeline at that time, and I thank you so much. So I just listened to your interview with Angela Tucker, and there was a discussion of kids needing to see themselves in somebody else. My four children have the same birth mother. However, they all have different birth fathers, and none of them could care less if they saw each other in themselves. I'm wondering if your kids feel the same way as Angela seemed to feel, and if any of them have birth siblings, if they've met them, and if that helped them at all. Thanks for the podcast. I'm enjoying it a lot. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Mary. Thanks. And thanks for listening to that Angela Tucker interview. So often, as you know, people who place babies for adoption are in crisis. And sometimes those crises don't ever get healed. And they remain consistent even after the 20 years or 18 years pass. So I don't think my children feel that way. We've discussed it a lot. And so I think it's individual with each child. You know, some of my kids don't really have very much interest, or they might have like looked up or did an internet search and an email. But so far, that's not. Now, I have always said I would be more than happy to help you find your birth family if you want at any time when you're an adult after over 18. And they know that I'm open to it. They know that I have volunteered to take them and wait in the car. And like, I will do whatever it is that will soothe or ease whatever angst they have. But they don't seem to have very much adoption trauma. So who knows? But read the book. It's very fascinating. And I hope that you and your children have a wonderful holiday season, and that they know that love makes a family, not blood, you know? Or not only blood. How about that? Thank you, Mary. Thank you so much. I love hearing from all of you people. And it's so hard with the time constraints here that we're only able to get like one or two in each episode. But our first show back after the holiday break will be me answering just your questions and comments from all of you. We're going to do a whole hour of that. Old ones, new ones, how many we can fit in one show, that's the goal. So send your voice memos to onwardrosie@gmail.com. But before we have the hiatus, we have one more fabulous episode with my very close friend of 30 years, the incredibly talented Sam Harris. Sam was the grand champion of Star Search, and that's where it all started in 1983. Then on to Broadway, we did Grease together, and he did so many Broadway shows. He's won so many awards, records, and books. He's an amazing author. Just wrote the screenplay of his latest book that we're going to talk all about, which I loved, absolutely loved, and you should get that for the holiday season. So that's next week with Sam Harris on Onward with Rosie O'Donnell. Hey, it's still Hanukkah, so a happy, healthy, and peaceful one to everybody, especially all those in the Mideast. May peace prevail next year. Please, God. Thank you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. We'll see you next time. Peace out.
Right here,
right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.